Is it possible to know when Jesus will return? We'll look at that in the scriptures in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and answer those and more questions in just a moment. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday evening Bible study. We're glad that you've joined us. We're looking forward to gathering around the Lord's Word today out of 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 1 through 13, where we're going to look at the coming day of the Lord. Now, while you find that in your Bible, we pray that everybody had a very Merry Christmas as we look forward to ending this most unusual year of 2020 so that we can get started anew in 2021. And we'll be praying for each and every one of you that God will bring the greatest of blessings to you and your family, and that He'll do some incredible things in your life. Now, to start off with, you know, I ask you that question. If you thought it was possible to know when Jesus would return. Now, that in itself is the question, but a lot of folks would sit back and say, well, why do you think people want to try to predict that anyway? I don't know about you, but I know for me, I've seen a lot of folks through, over time who have said, well, the Lord's going to come back and they'll put this particular date on it. So to start off with an answer, and one of the first and foremost questions is, the Word of God tells us that no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man will return. But we see some really interesting things in regard to the end times that Peter is teaching us out of the Word of God today. So what we want to do is we want to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, and it reads as follows. Behold, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a greater noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Let us pray together. Our Father, as we come to you right now, we just praise your name for the fact that you give us your word. It's not one of those things that you make us wonder about. Although we realize that your word truly tells us that no man knows the day nor the hour, you tell us that we should be prepared in all that we say and all that we do. Now, Lord, I pray that you will truly help us in what we say and what we do to magnify you. Lord, that we wouldn't be slack in our walk with you. Father, as we start to head into this new year, may we truly evaluate our walk with you. May we learn what you're teaching us from your word. And Lord, may we walk closer to you than we ever have before. Lord, we ask you to bless this time as we gather around your word. Speak to each and every heart as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, see, you know, we were talking before about that question. There are so many people who will come out and they'll say, well, we have predicted that based on what the word of the Lord says that Christ's return is going to be, and then they'll give some sort of date. Well, the Bible tells us that we can't know that. But what that should do is that should encourage each and every one of us to consider what we do every day of our lives, our walk with the Lord, our talk with Him. It should be one of those things where we should stand ever ready to be able to meet our Maker, because it could be at any moment. Now, in our text that we're looking at today, Peter taught believers about the coming day of the Lord, as it is called there. Now, over in verse 3, Peter kind of identifies a crowd, and he calls them scoffers. Look at verse 3 with me. It says, in verse 3, it says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lust," verse 4, "and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Now, as a Christian, we hear that a lot. If you're trying to share the gospel message with someone and you're encouraging them and you're telling them time is short according to the word of God, most of the time people will come back and say, "Well, what do you mean? You know, since and even if they believe that the fathers, as this verse talks about it, that our fathers were right about what they said, and even if you're right in what you say about the Bible, then what they say is this. They'll say, what's changed in the last 2,000 years? Everything is going along just like it was before. Where are the signs of his coming? Well, nothing seems to have changed. I don't catch any glimpse of it. Now, remember this. We also go back to where the Word tells us that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, if the Lord was showing us all these things, and by the way, another message for another day is the Lord is showing us things. If you remember, his word said, when he talked to the Pharisees, he said, "Why is it that you can look at the trees and the fields and you don't have any trouble saying that spring is coming, but yet you can't see the signs of the times? You can't see the fulfillment of the prophecies. You can't see that we're getting close to the time of the Lord's return." So a lot of these scoffers will say that. They'll say, "Well, you know, I'm hearing what you're saying and I understand it, but there's absolutely no difference now than what it was 2,000 years ago." And it says, he goes on and tells us in verses 4 through 6, one of the things that essentially people will deliberately overlook. Now look at verse 4 again. It says, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming?" That's what they're pointing out. It says, "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget." That's what they're taking out of the picture. It says they willfully forget. Well, we'll just look the other way. And what was that? What was the question? Where is the promise of his coming? And that's what they're turning away from. They don't want to see that. They don't want to face it. And mainly because what happens is, with you have the Lord in your life, it creates conviction in your life. It's not about us walking on our own path. That's what we talked about this past Sunday, was the fact that God wants us to do His will, His way in our lives. Not our will, our way in our lives, but His will, because He has a great plan for us. But the Lord also had a plan, and that plan involved Jesus Christ. That plan involved redemption for the sins of the world. But it also involves that you and I do something, and that is to trust in Him. And what it says in these passages is that is one of the things that is just willfully forgotten. People don't want to, they don't want to face that. As it says in verses 4 through 6, it is deliberately overlooked. And Peter says in verse 7 that because of that, that means that there's going to be a certain fate that people are going to see. Now look with me at verse 7. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." There's going to come a time when this earth is going to pass away. Now, I don't want to get into a whole lot of the eschatology or the end time things at this particular point. But as we know, the next great event that you and I are looking for is what is termed the rapture. And that is the time when the trumpet sounds, God calls the dead in Christ, they'll come up out of the graves. Those of us who are alive and are still on earth will be caught up together. And it says to meet him in the air. So therefore, at that particular point, Jesus is not going to set foot on this earth. This particular time is going to be followed by a seven-year tribulation period. I mean, Satan's going to be turned loose. Things are going to be awful. It will produce the Battle of Armageddon. It will produce the Mark of the Beast. We'll see the temple being rebuilt. All those things are going to happen in that seven-year period of time called the tribulation. But then after that is the what we call the millennial reign. That's going to be that 1,000 years where the Lord and all of us who had been caught up together to meet him in the air will come back and reign with him for 1,000 years on this earth. Well, after that 1,000 years, then the earth is going to be destroyed. Enter verse 7 of our study tonight. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So there's going to be a time when this earth is going to pass away, and then we will have that opportunity to be in the ethereal heaven that the Lord has prepared for us. So when we think about this, there's a lot of things that are going on in these particular passages, but Peter is warning folks of what the fate will be to reject or to turn away from Christ. Now, Peter describes the difference between time on earth and time on eternity. Now, for a lot of folks, this can be something that you look at in a positive way. It's for some people, they look at it and they're like, man, you know, I hate the fact that that time is you know measured in that function when it's compared to eternity. But look at verse 8 when we talk about these things. Verse 8 says, "But, beloved, do not forget this." Don't forget this one thing, verse 8. "That with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now, that is so hard for people to wrap their mind around. That's why I have often said, particularly when it comes to somebody who's maybe lost a loved one. And, you know, we can think and take comfort in the fact that that loved one who is a believer, who has gone on to be with the Lord, they are enjoying his presence. They're in the presence of the Lord. But here on earth, we don't look at time in the same fashion. I mean, years and years and years may pass that loved one is gone away. But I've said, if you look at this verse, and let's look at it again, verse 8 says, "But beloved, do not forget that this one thing, that with the Lord one day," in other words, one day in the presence of the Lord, "is as 1,000 years on this earth." Now think about that for a minute. I don't know too many folks that are 1,000 years old. So when we take that into our mind, and we think about how brief our life is on this earth. Now consider a loved one who has gone on to be with the Lord. By the time they get done just looking around up in heaven at all of its awesomeness and all of the splendor that is, after they put their eyes on Jesus, for them, by the time they turn around, you and I are going to be there. 1,000 years is as one day. So for them, it's just it's quick time. Now, you also, Peter said this in regard to the delay from the time that Jesus ascended back to the Father until he was going to call us back. So, you know, he was sitting there, and remember the excuse. The excuse was, well, how can I believe that? Things hadn't changed a bit since the time of Christ. Now Peter is sitting back and saying that one day in heaven is one day in heaven. Look at verse 8 once again. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So now he's trying to put a timeline out there to let us know that, you know, according to heaven's standards, the Lord hasn't really been gone for that long of a period of time. Now, I said a moment ago, that can be something that's either comforting to folks or disheartening. I think that the disheartening part is when it seems like here on earth it's such a long period of time that we're without those loved ones. But I trust and pray you'll look at it as a positive thing in knowing that your loved one that's with Jesus right now has barely had time to look around, and then you and I are all going to be there in the Lord's presence and to be able to be with them as well. So, you know, this really kind of helps us, and I think that's why Peter gave it. It really helps us to understand God's timing related to life in general, related to time as you and I know it. It's heavenly time is completely different than time here. And I want to mention this. God is always on time. He is always on target. He is never early. He is never late. He is always on time with his plan. Now, as we continue on with this passage, according to Peter, God has delayed his coming to this earth for a reason. Now, let's go look at verse 9 and see why it is that the Lord has delayed his return. Look, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises," and his promise being that he is going to come again, his promise that he is going to take us to be where he is. So keep that in mind. The Lord, verse 9, is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, there's the answer to the question. Why is it that the Lord has delayed for 2,000 years in coming back? And here's the reason why. Because he loves mankind so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross, to resurrect on the third day. And folks, the world's population is full. He is giving time. It says he is long-suffering, and that long-suffering is so that many, all, will have time to come to know him. Now, that means that you and I need to be doing our part as well as Christians. We need to be those witnesses. We need to be sharing God's love. We need to be sharing that plan of salvation, not only with the people that we love, but even those that we don't know, the people that are around us. And I love that particular passage that we see in verse 9 and what the Lord says, particularly at the latter part of it. It says that he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah, he wants everybody to have a chance. The Lord never wanted anyone to spend one single moment in hell, and he has provided a way. But you know, one of the things that I think about when it comes down to salvation, as we learn from the Lord's word, salvation is a gift. You know, we have just come out of Christmas. We've just come out of that time where we have given gifts and we have received gifts, and we know what a joy it is both to give as well as it is to receive. And God has given us the greatest gift that could ever be, and that is eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. But just like a gift, if I were to bring a wrapped box to you today with a nice bow on it and say, hey, I've got a gift for you here, and I handed it to you, that's all well and good. You know, you may take the gift, but what good is it if you never open the gift up? What good is it if you never open that package and look inside to see what's there? How will it ever bring you joy? How will it ever fulfill my sense of being the giver? The joy that I have in giving that gift will never be realized unless the gift is open. Folks, the greatest gift of all is the gift of Jesus Christ. We have just celebrated his birth. And my question is, have you trusted in him? Yeah, he is offering you the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. But you must receive that gift. You must be able to confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. I do need a Savior. Thank you for your gift on Calvary's cross that makes eternal life possible for me. Why is it that the Lord is delaying in his return? Simply because he would that none should perish. Latter part of verse 9, once again, because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, any of you who have been on campus or been around me in my ministry, particularly where that the latter part of that verse where I always say this, I said, all means all, and then you respond, and that's all that all means. Notice what he said, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the reason why the Lord's delaying, folks. He's delaying giving you and I time to share the gospel message. He is delaying giving those who need to hear the message and turn their life over to him. That's the reason for the delay. You know, this tells us so much about God's love and God's grace in our lives and how much he cares for us. He is trying to wait till to see how many people to gather the most to make that journey to heaven. And that's what he's waiting for. So now as we continue on, Peter makes a comparison of the coming of the Lord, and he calls it the day of the Lord in verse 10. Look with me at verse 10, which says this. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now, I've preached on this so many times because it should be a motivator for you and I. Whether we're a believer, it should be a motivator to give the gospel out to all that we know and love and care about. As a person who is an unbeliever, this should be a motivator for us to turn our life over to the Lord. Because in verse 10, it says this. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, we know that this passage has mentioned a thief in the night. The Word of God mentions a thief in the night in other places. But it says this, had the owner of the home known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and he would not have suffered his house to be broken. So, you know, the Lord is saying this, at any moment, I believe that according to the word of God, all the prophecy that is supposed to take place before he calls us out of here, or the return as we talk about it, all that's in place. It can happen at this very moment. It can happen before you put your hand on a pillow at night. And the Lord is urging us to be ready, to be diligent and vigilant in our walk, to walk with him in such a manner that if we had to see him in the next few moments or before the sun went down, would he be able to look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Would he look us in the eye or just shake his head and say, you know what, you had a form of godliness. But and even those that are true believers that are walking from afar, like the illustration of Peter during the time of Jesus' arrest. Listen, folks, are you walking afar from Jesus? He wants to be an active, avid part of your life. And it says that his return is going to be as such a thief in the night. Nobody is ready for a thief in the night. If you're ready for the thief in the night, then you're not going to have a thief in the night because they know that you're watching. Now, in spite of God's warnings of the coming days of judgment, there are people who are still not prepared for it. You know, that is what I beg of you. I have shared, I know, the gospel plan with people that profess that they're unsaved. They profess they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. I have shared that plan of salvation with them. And yet, they're still standoffish in spite of God's warning, in spite of the fact that it could be only moments away. They're not looking toward that coming day. You know, why is it that you think that some people still don't prepare for it? Well, I believe that a lot of people don't prepare for it because they don't truly believe in their heart that the Lord is going to do what he said that he was going to do. They just don't, they don't trust him in that regard. Now, some of that spills over even to those who have trusted the Lord, who have gotten, and I'll just call it, tired of waiting on him. There's believers that I know that sit back saying, well, why is the Lord taking so long? What, you know, why didn't he just come on back now and just call us on to heaven? And then we won't have to worry about politics. We won't have to worry about the White House. We won't have to worry about the coronavirus. We won't have to worry about all these things. And we'll be in his presence and we will be joyous forevermore. Well, the previous verses just answered that question, because the Lord is long-suffering and he would that none should perish. His ministry, the ministry of salvation on this earth, has not been fully completed yet. And that's why he's waiting. But so many people will not take God's warning about the coming day of judgment and will not be prepared for that. Now, what can you and I do to help prepare this generation in the coming days? Folks, we have got to be more diligent about getting the gospel out. We've got to quit worrying about what everybody's going to think about us, or whether they're going to think that we're some sort of Jesus freak or religious nut or something along that line. You know, to me, I think it's more important to please God than it is to please man. Now, you know, Peter described the day of the Lord once it finally arrives there in verse 10. And you know, the question is, will anything on earth remain after the coming of his day? You have to think about it. I believe that according to what the scriptures tell us, that when that trumpet sounds, you know, all the people who are believers are going to be called out of here. Now, according to what we read about the tribulation period, yes, there will be opportunity for people to come to know the Lord during that tribulation period. One is evidence that there will be 144,000 sealed of God. Those, I call those missionaries, that will spread the word. Do I believe it will be completely different in that day than what it is right now in this age of grace that we know? Absolutely. I believe that those people during the tribulation that will come to know the Lord will die martyrs. The word tells us that during that time of tribulation, if a person takes the mark of the beast, they won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. Life is going to be very, very tough and complicated. But I just want to encourage you to do this. A lot of people sit back and say, well, that tribulation scares me. I say, well, yeah, I tell you what, go ahead and trust in Jesus. And you won't have to worry about it because you won't be here when that happens. That's my line for that particular type of comment that I get. But I believe we're close to that coming day. I really do. I continue to see what's taking place on this earth. As I preached about Sunday, I believe that God has given us an ultimatum, kind of like cleared the desk off. He's doing what he needs to do to get our attention. I think coronavirus is part of that. I'm not trying to say it's judgment. I'm not saying that it's not either. I don't know what God is trying to do with it, but I do know this. No matter what happens, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's politics or whatever, whatever happens in the year 2021, it's not taking God by surprise. It's part of His plan for our lives, and we need to get on with His plan rather than building all the little castles for ourselves. I think God, through 2020, has gone and squashed all of our personal castles that He might be able to get our attention, that we might be about His business. This day, my friend, is coming. Not only according to Peter, but according to the Word of God, according to Jesus Himself. Now look with me at verses 11 and 12. It says, therefore, that means, okay, because of the fact that He's coming back. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, talking about, you know, the earth, works, everything else, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? In other words, how are you behaving yourself? Let's look at that again. Now think about that for a moment. Think about your walk with the Lord. Think about your behavior. Think about what it is that God wants of you and what your results of walking as a Christian are. Now think, it says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, here's the question. What manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Well, what is your conduct in God? Is it godly conduct or is it worldly conduct? When people would look at you, and if God had to put your life on the scales and one said worldly and one said godly, which one would outweigh the other? Would godliness truly outweigh the worldly ways in your life? Because listen, one of these days we're going to answer for that. Now verse 12, he goes on and says this. It says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Folks, we need to be ready for the Lord's return. We need to be ready for, so that when He calls us out, we won't have to experience all the bad stuff during the tribulation. We need to be ready, and we need to be walking in His will, in His way. You know, I don't want to be that person that's a detriment to somebody else coming to know Jesus because my life doesn't match what the Word of God says my life as a Christian ought to be. How about you? If you're taking that checkup, if you're evaluating that as we draw near the end of 2020, and we've done that self-evaluation, and we've looked back over the year, and we've allowed the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts and our lives, how did you come up? If God was giving you a grade card for 2020 in your walk with Him, what grade would you get? Would you get an A? Would God say, hey, you've done a really good job. You have done fantastic. You have walked the walk. You've talked the talk. You've been a witness. You've done all these things. You've kept my commandments. Would He say, well, you got a B? Well, you know, you kind of messed up along the ways, but thanks be to God that through repentance, that, you know, there's forgiveness. I'm going to give you a B. Maybe a C. Maybe you're just average. You struggle day to day in different areas. Maybe you got a D. And D doesn't stand for dandy. Maybe you're really struggling along the way with your walk. Or maybe you just got a complete F, which means you failed miserably. God knows what it is. In fact, God's the teacher who gives you the grade. So if you come before Him today in the test of 2020, as you've walked with Him, what grade did He give you? A, B, C, D, F. Well, there's still time to change because He's delayed. He's delayed His coming to give us a chance, to give us an opportunity. So I want to ask you that too. As you think about that, as you look at the world around you, how close do you think we are to the coming of this day known as His return? You know, many people that I talk with have said, man, I'll tell you one thing, I feel like it's closer than ever. Even those who are not very steeped in theological ways say, hey, man, this can't keep on going like this. You know, when you look back in the Bible and you look at what the days were like in the days of Noah, when God wound up destroying the whole earth, when you look back at what it was like when God had to get Israel's attention so many times because they weren't following Him. Folks, I want to tell you right now, it's a sad commentary, but America is no longer following God. It's hard to really call America a Christian nation anymore because our actions certainly are not becoming of those who are considered to be Christian people. And that's something that needs to change. And it all starts right here. It starts individually with each and every one of us. So as you get ready to begin the new year of 2021, what is it that God is putting on your heart and your mind in regard to the fact that His coming could be any moment, as a thief in the night, and you will stand before him and you will answer for the things that you've done in this body. What would your grade be? If you don't like what you feel like it is, what the Holy Spirit's telling you right now, there's still time to make a difference. Maybe 2020 is that year that your life gets turned around, or 2021. Maybe 2021 is when your life gets turned around for the Lord. Maybe 2021 is when your prayers get answered. Maybe 2021 is when your family gets right with the Lord. Maybe 2021 is when your husband or your wife comes to know the Lord as their Savior. Don't give up. Keep on striving. Although you may be weary, God provides rest for the weary. As God's children, there are promises that we can claim in His Word as we look forward to those days of judgment that we see about in verse 13. Yeah, Peter said that there would be something different about the new heavens and the new earth. And I'm kind of excited to be able to have an opportunity to see that, get that new body. So are you ready for the coming day of the Lord? Now, if you're not, then my question would be, why not? You know, what is it that needs to take place? And whatever that may be, whatever the Holy Spirit shows you, that needs to take place this very day, this very moment. Do not delay, because you may not have any more time. See, are you living right now like it could be today? You know, who's that? Maybe that one person that you need to warn about the coming day and pray for his or her salvation. Is it that family member? Is it that friend? Is it a neighbor, coworker, whoever it may be? Let's pray today that we will witness and live as though the day of the Lord could be in the next few moments. I promise you it will change your life. See, too often we've gotten so accustomed to just going through life in our day-to-day habits or process, which 2020 kind of shook that up as well. But yet we get up, we do the same things, and we get routine. You know, we get up, we take a shower, we have a breakfast, a cup of coffee, we get out the door, we get to work at a certain time. We do all these things, and we fall into this habitual type of activity in our lives. And the Lord said, I didn't create you for that. I created it to be exciting. But here's the thing. He said, I created it that you might walk in my word, do my will, do it my way, and that I might give you an abundant, fulfilled life, that you might truly be content with what you have and be content with where you are. Each and every one of us could probably take that to heart. I know I'm guilty of it. I'll be the first one to tell you that sometimes we get discontent with what we have. And then when we really pause to think about it, we have more than, we're in the top 1% of all the world as the wealthiest people. If you're hearing my voice, you might sit back and say, well, my economy and my household's not that good. You're still in the top 1% of the world. God's given you food on the table, a roof over your head, shoes on your feet. He has watched over you every step of the way. Why don't we live today and every day as if we would have that opportunity to see him in the next few moments? And the reason why is because we might. He's going to return as a thief in the night. And that meant that no one was ready when that took place. So I want to wish you all a very happy new year. I want to go ahead and give you the Bible readings for this week as we head into next week. This week's Bible readings passages will be the book of 1 John chapter 1 through 1 John chapter 5. Once again, that is 1 John chapter 1 through 1 John chapter 5. And next week, we're going to discuss children of God from the book of 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 through 10. I want to give you a quick update on our vote for our budget vote that we took this past Sunday. Immediately after the service was a unanimous vote to approve the 2021 budget as presented by Budget and Finance. So we'll be looking forward to going ahead with the budget as approved. If you need copies of that, once again, you can still contact the church office. We'll email you a copy, or we still have some that are out and about over here. But at any rate, from our church, from Central Baptist Church, on behalf of your pastors and all the staff, we want to wish you a very safe and happy new year. We look forward to seeing you in 2021 to worship together. May this be the new start that you've been looking for, and may 2021 truly be the most blessed year of your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity just to gather around your word. And Lord, we thank you that you don't leave us guessing about so many things. And Lord, as tough as it is, we thank you for your long suffering. You have been long suffering with us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be long suffering with others. Lord, help us to be about your business, that many would come to know you because our witness, because we talk about you, because we tell folks about you, and because your word is a true and living word. Help us, Lord, truly to be about your business in 2021 better than we've ever been in the past. Now, Lord, as we enter this new year, we do so really wanting a change from the coronavirus 2020 that we've known of. We're praying that that will happen. And Lord, that also reminds us of the fact that our contentment shouldn't be based on our ever-changing circumstances. So may we look at 2021 in a completely different light than we have 2020. And may we truly be about your business. God, keep us safe and healthy as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. We look forward to seeing you in the new year.